Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Coming up later this morning, Stephen Dubner from Freakonomics on what he says are the three hardest words in the English language. I don't know. But how about the four hardest words in the English language? I changed my mind. Our first guest today is the president of the New York Public Library, Anthony Marks, in the news for deciding not to proceed with a highly controversial plan to reinvent the library's main branch, to replace books with people, as he once put it, in the world's most famous research library with its famous lions and its famous stacks. When the plan made adversaries out of the world's great writers like Salman Rushdie, Mario Vargas Llosa, Francine Prose, Art Spiegelman, not to mention Bill de Blasio, it had a problem. So let's hear about the revised plan and what it might mean for the vaunted main branch and for the neighborhood branches that serve millions of New Yorkers. Tony Marks, thanks for speaking publicly about this here today, and welcome back to WNYC.
It's great to be here, Brian. Been looking forward to it.
And since many listeners do not know about this controversy, though some have been intensely involved with it, would you start by just talking for a couple of minutes about what you were trying to do with your reinvention plan and why you decided not to go through with it?
So about 10 years ago, the library recognized it had three challenges at the center of its system in Midtown. And we've been looking for a solution to those. And in fact, we think we found one. The three problems were the following. One, the main building, the Schwarzman Building with the lions out front, most famous library building, I think, in the world, is maybe 25% open to the public. It's underutilized, and that's a great pity because it's a gorgeous building that all New Yorkers and everyone from the world should feel is their research library. The second problem that we faced is that our largest branch library across the street, our largest circulation, 1.4 million visits a year, the Mid-Manhattan, which I grew up using in high school because I didn't feel so welcome in the fancy main building, mm-hmm. but the great circulating collection is in Mid-Manhattan. It's never been our finest piece of architecture, and it is now physically failing, and we have to keep it going. We can't close it because that would strand 1.4 million visits a year.
You were going to close it.
We were going to close it only after we'd created a new one inside the main building. So we were never going to have a closed Mid-Manhattan. We learned from Donnell and other examples that that's just a mistake.
Closing that's the library on 53rd Street that
right.
You closed.
That was closed and took us much longer to get to. But we're going to have a great new 53rd Street library. But with economic collapse in 2008, et cetera, it took much longer, and that was not good. The third problem is the core of the research collection, what we thought was roughly 3 million books, it turns out now that we've barcoded and counted them for the first time, is about 2.5 million books that were in the stacks in the back of the building overlooking Bryant Park, were decaying at a much faster clip than is acceptable. And there was some fire hazard issues there. And so we knew we needed to do something about that. To preserve the collection as well as to ensure its availability now and in the future, to solve the Mid-Manhattan branch library problem, and to use the main building, the Schwarzman Building, much more fully. So the original proposal, which goes back to 2007, so a different world, right, before the economy changed,
financial crisis is a factor here.
Financial crisis is a factor here, but so the world of information and of library use has changed incredibly as well. We've never had more users and more technology being used than today.
But so you laid out the problem, deteriorating conditions for the books in the stacks in the main branch, deteriorating physical plant at Mid-Manhattan, the big circulating library that I also used for research in grad school. And yes, it was much easier to access some of the research materials there than it was in the one with the lions where it seemed so shrouded in mystery. You had to put in a slip and hope that it existed and everything else. Those were some of the problems you were trying to solve by
So we were going to build a new mid-Manhattan in the stack space overlooking Bryant Park, not close the old one till the new one was done. And the original plan that I inherited had most of the books going off-site, and thereby also using much more of the main building. That was the plan, and it's been much debated. As I say, a lot of the criticism we heard was turns out to have been correct. We're the public library, so we have to do this in a public way. We have to hear concerns, criticisms, and once we understood what the plan was and had an actual plan that we could send out for third-party cost estimating, that's what we did. We couldn't do it till we actually had a plan, obviously. And when that came back at considerably higher cost, it turns out it's just very complicated to do physical work in the stack space. Turns out it was more expensive than we thought, and we found a less expensive alternative which solves all the key problems without blowing a hole in the budget and thereby not hurting the whole rest of the system that we all rely on.
The heat, though, seemed to revolve around the nature of the New York Public Library main branch and what it would be used for. For example, the idea for many more computer terminals and cafe spaces and wireless access and comfortable seating behind the lions got derided as turning the world's greatest public research library into another Starbucks. You kept getting mocked for one line that you had said along the way that you would replace books with people. Again, you had, you know, some of the world's great scholars, some of the world's great novelists saying you were going to dumb down the world's greatest public research institution. Did you find some truth to that critique upon a closer look?
We were never going to change any of the space that the research community uses. The whole third floor, the Rosemain Reading Room, none of those spaces were ever going to be touched.
You were going to move millions of books to New Jersey, though.
That was the original plan. The plan now, let me just be very clear, is we will have capacity for all the books we ever had on site, and they'll now be safely stored so that not only can you get them today fast, they're barcoded, no more slips of paper, you can now get them by computer, it's much more reliable and faster, and that will be the case for future generations of scholars. So we certainly heard the concern about moving books off-site. That was the wrong plan. We have this huge unused space under Bryant Park that we can make a great preservation environment that's our basement right on site. So we're going to do that.
And you can save the books because to the problem that you were talking about before about decaying conditions, you were going to move them to spaces in New Jersey that you could adequately climate control as one of the central tenants here, as I understand the plan. Will you be able to protect the old books under the new plan if they will remain in that Bryant Park building?
Absolutely. And we got a generous gift from the Milsteins, and we're adding additional private foundation money of our own in order to make it a key preservation environment and fire safe. The stacks also had a fire hazard issue, which put the building at some risk. We couldn't risk the collection or the building, and we can't and we won't. But now we don't need to send the books elsewhere. We can have the books on site. When this is done, we'll again have 4 million or more books on site, as many as we ever had. And we calculate roughly 93 or 94% of all requests will be met within half an hour from that collection on site. That's an amazing achievement, given that we're located in the most expensive real estate in the world at 42nd Street and Fifth Avenue.
And listeners, if you want to call in for Tony Marks, president of the New York Public Library, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Were you surprised by the intensity or the prominence of the opposition, especially to this idea of moving the books from the stacks to New Jersey? The only difference would have been between an hour retrieval and one day retrieval. But all these A-list literary names were outraged by the plan, not to mention Bill de Blasio as a mayoral candidate bothering to come out against it. Were you taken aback by all of this? I mean, people would have thought you were kidnapping Nigerian schoolgirls, some of the rhetoric around what you were going to do, when you thought you were upgrading for a 21st century institution?
Well, we always have to be upgrading, and there is more computer use by researchers and all of us, and the library has to make that more accessible, whether it's in the neighborhoods or at the main branch, or any of our other great research facilities, the Schomburg, the Library for Performing Arts, the Business Library. So that is happening. As a scholar, and you know, I understand the passion of the scholarly and research community. The plan to move the majority of books off-site was the wrong plan. That was pretty clear pretty early on. And we started to change that plan. And yes, we can, as I say, keep those books and keep them safe. That part of the criticism I thought was dead on. There were other parts of the criticism that I did and do disagree with. People arguing that the public should not be welcomed to use the main building, should not have more space available to it. That it's the public library. And, you know, so we'll keep all the research collection, we'll keep all the research space. In fact, we'll add more space for researchers and more staff. But we're also going to add space now for teachers and students to use the research collection, people who are doing business startups to do their research and get advice. We're going to double the exhibition space so that tourists or New Yorkers who walk in for free off Fifth Avenue can not only see the great temporary exhibits we've long done, but a treasures exhibit that will take out of the safes for the first time in 100 years for, you know, permanent display, amazing things. The only copy in the world of the original letter from Christopher Columbus to King Ferdinand saying, "I think I found something." The original copy of the Declaration in Jefferson's hand with the slavery paragraph crossed out. Just amazing stuff. The public needs to use this building, and the researchers need to be able to use this building.
Susan in Manhattan. You're on WNYC with Anthony Marks, president of the New York Public Library. Hi, Susan.
Hi. This is Susan Bernofsky. Thanks so much for taking my call. So I have some questions about the number of books that will be in the library in the new plan. I know we've spoken before, and you used to say that that building out BIPSI would allow another 1.5 million books to be stored. You know, the first floor of it holds 1.2 million, and they share a footprint except for a small office area. And it doesn't seem possible to me that you can fit 4 million books into that space, no matter how much denser the shelving becomes. And currently the recap facility in New Jersey, if I understand correctly, is housing approximately 7 million books from the library's collection, or some of them maybe are housed in Westchester. But I'm wondering, what does it cost the library to house these books in other storage facilities and truck them back and forth? Thanks so much for taking my call.
Hi, Susan. Good to hear from you. So let's see. The Bryant Park storage facility is complicated, which is why it took us some time to work on this. There are roughly 1.2 million books on the upper level, and the other half of the facility are archives and special collections, so not books. The entire lower level, so twice as much space as we're currently using for books above, is available for our use. That's why we'll be able to have a total of roughly 3.7 million books in that space, safe and easily retrieved. There are books in New Jersey in a facility we share with Princeton and Columbia. There's no great research library in the world that doesn't have to use off-site storage. But the books, the remainder of the books that were in the stacks, are in a third facility where they can be retrieved but less easily, and we now will have the capacity to move them all back. The cost of doing this in Bryant Park is roughly half of the cost of any alternative. So it just makes sense from a public interest point of view to store all the books safely under Bryant Park and end up with about $24 million left that we would otherwise have to spend that we can spend on buying more books and hiring librarians. So everybody wins.
Is this on one level the victory of a small but powerful literary elite over a more public use of the main branch, where I understand there has actually been a huge decline in public usage? Correct me if I'm wrong. even as usage explodes in the branch libraries around the city.
So the usage, the traffic, if you will, into the main building decreased significantly after the Mid-Manhattan was built, because before that, the circulating library was in the main building. We do aspire to restoring that kind of traffic, but by adding roughly 50% more public space in the main building. We have to meet the needs of the branch libraries. We've spent about $350 million on capital in those neighborhood libraries over the last 10 years with our city partners. We need to do more. We need to do more education work, which is so desperately needed in the branch libraries. We need our largest branch library, the Mid-Manhattan, to be great. 1.4 million visits a year, and roughly half of those come from outside of Manhattan. People are coming from all over the city to use this amazing collection. They're going to get a great new Mid-Manhattan circulating library, and the public will find more activities and more space in the main building, and we'll have more money left over to do all the other things that the library needs to do.
Anna Lynn on the Upper West Side. You're on WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you. And thank you. I just had a question for you, President Marks, if I might, something that you said earlier in the conversation. When I tuned in, I heard you saying that the library administration wanted to open up the library to the public and that you were surprised that the opposition to the Central Library Plan from the scholars included not wanting to open up the library to the public. I was rather astonished by this because nowhere during our back and forth in the last year and a half was that a position that anyone amongst the scholars and researchers and preservationists took. In fact, we are delighted that more space is going to be opened up in the library. All we were advocating is to keep the books on site. We also advocated refurbishing the Mid-Manhattan because we thought that was a wonderful resource for the community. And we perceive a victory in the Central Library Plan going away, quite frankly, a victory for not only us, but for the public. And I would love to have you comment.
So, Anna, we're in heated agreement here because we are doing all the things that you said. There certainly was commentary. There was an op-ed in the New York Times talking about how, you know, people didn't want the squeak of Reebok sneakers of students in the building. I actually think that's okay. And, you know, there's certainly other statements to that effect, even in the lawsuits that were filed. But it doesn't matter. It's not about sort of who won, who lost, it seems to me. It's about the public winning. It's about all of us getting more great library facilities, having the books on site. The libraries have never been used more. And that's amazing. What a great thing in New York that, you know, the foundation of an informed civil society is more robust and more used than ever. We're all completely in agreement that this is a great day and a great outcome to solve all these problems and be able to move forward.
Anthony Marks, president of the New York Public Library, on withdrawing the plan for reinventing the main branch of the New York Public Library and the way they were going to, and closing the Mid-Manhattan branch across the street. Bill de Blasio opposed the plan as a candidate, but did not speak publicly about it as mayor, as far as I know. Were there any behind-the-scenes negotiations with the mayor or his people to revise the plan?
So what the mayor-elect, or as candidate, said is you need to be sure that you've got the cost estimates right, you need to not go over budget, and I'm concerned about selling an asset, the Mid-Manhattan. And we agreed with that. Of course, any project of this size was going to have to be sent out for third-party cost estimates because that's the responsible thing to do. So we were in complete agreement that that was what we needed to do, what we always intended to do. We were a bit surprised by the results of that analysis. And then maybe folks are surprised that we chose to change course rather than just steam ahead.
Right. But the mayor's executive budget, released almost simultaneously with your announcement of withdrawing the plan last week, includes more money for libraries. I'm guessing this is not a coincidence.
So I think the mayor and the library, and certainly I, are in complete accord on the large questions at stake, which is New Yorkers need and deserve great libraries that are open more. They need more educational programs from pre-K to after school to immigrants coming in for English language or citizenship classes, people learning how to do use basic computer skills or coding. All of that is massively expanding, and that's really what my discussions with the mayor have focused on. How can we do more for New Yorkers at this crucial moment?
And I think that that is the under-addressed by the media question in this whole thing. That's just my own opinion. That for all the heat and all the focus on the Mid-Manhattan branch and the main branch, these are icons, these are beloved by many, these are used by scholars, but given the mayor's grassroots orientation, will this new plan mean more money for the branch libraries around the three boroughs that you serve? Because there is so much of a need to address the backlog of deferred maintenance, for example, around the city. And yet all these libraries and the millions of New Yorkers who use them for daily internet access when they can't afford their own, to look for jobs when they don't have their own internet access, you know, or to study for school, all of these things. Do you spend much more on those now under the revised plan? And was that a mayoral concern?
I think it's a concern and a vision that the mayor and I share and feel strongly about, which is, look, again, the Mid-Manhattan is our most used branch. People come from all over the city, so don't misunderstand it as a sort of, you know, part of Midtown. It's a citywide facility because of its huge circulating collection. And it's failing physically, mechanically, so we have to do something. But by doing the sensible approach, we're not stealing money from the rest of the system, and now can and are turning our attention fully to the issues of how we can work with the city, we've had a 16% reduction in city funding for the branch libraries over the last 5 or 6 years. In fact, we haven't closed branches. We have more branches than we've ever had. We haven't reduced our hours. But this is very hard to meet the needs of New Yorkers. And that conversation, the conversation of how we can increase funding to the libraries, the mayor has baselined, which is a fabulous start, but we need to go further, and also address the capital needs in the branches. And as a private foundation with $1 billion of endowment, and we raise roughly $80 to $100 million a year, we're ready to partner with the city in meeting those needs.
I'll give you a specific concern. I'm thinking of the contrast, and not to dismiss the needs of scholars and other researchers at all, but the contrast between some of the scholars who were incensed that it might take a day rather than an hour to get a rare book from the stacks, between that and how difficult it might be for a kid in Mott Haven to get a book, and, for example, that less than 10% of branch libraries are open on Sunday, when there's probably a massive need for that, for what I was citing before, the millions of New Yorkers who get their internet access at all at the libraries to do homework or apply for jobs or whatever. Which is the bigger issue, in your opinion? And are there any plans for Sunday hours expansion in whatever you discuss with the mayor?
We'd love to have more libraries open on Sundays. We all understand that, you know, that's when many of us are available to do what we need to do in the library. And something like a third of New Yorkers, particularly the bottom third economically, depend on us to be able to read or to have access to computers. We have to do better to meet those needs. And, you know, Mott Haven, other branches have had great renovations. Others still need them. We'd love to talk with the mayor about how we can increase our educational services in the libraries, which are the most demanded services we provide in terms of increase of late, and to increase hours. Again, we're fortunate that we didn't cut our hours during these very lean, difficult years. But at this point, New York's public libraries, the three systems, have less hours per month than the Detroit public libraries do. That's just crazy. You know, Detroit needs better as well.
Well, the Times cited a 25% increase in library funding under the mayor's executive budget. Can you confirm that number?
We are in negotiations with City Hall, with our colleagues at the City Council. I think everybody understands that we need to do better, and we're working towards that.
Are you satisfied with the mayor's number? I saw it as $150 million. Is that the right number? And are you asking for a particular number?
So that's the number that stays in the capital budget for what we can do in Midtown, particularly the mid-Manhattan.
Oh, that's not the total funding of the system.
We also need – we get roughly $140 million a year of operating savings, but that's with a 16% reduction over the last 5 years. So we would like to be able to do more with more funding. And, of course, there are continued needs for capital in the branches. Again, we've done some great renovations. We've spent a lot of time and effort and money, but there's more to do. It's the largest circulating library system in America.
Have you considered building up over the mid-Manhattan branch? Because that's a relatively low building. What I imagine is, well, it's 34th Street. It's 40th Street.
40th, right.
Certainly the skyscrapers are all around there. And this is another controversy having to do with other library branches around the city and whether they're selling out to real estate interests by doing that kind of thing. But do you have any plan for that? Because it would seem on a economic level that there's an opportunity there.
Well, it turns out, from what we can tell from our analysis so far, the building cannot withstand more than three more stories built onto it. And there's a covenant with the building next door that limits it, as does zoning requirements. But more generally, do we need to be shrewd about using our resources to meet the public need? Of course we do. For instance, we had our main sorting and storage facility on 40th Street on the far west side. We moved that to a much better facility at much less expense in Long Island City. It's such a great sorting facility that we can now sort books for Brooklyn, saving both systems millions of dollars a year that we can then spend on librarians and books. And that building on 40th Street was bought by the Department of Education for public schools. I mean, there are some great stories and great investments here that we've made, and we have to continue to be mindful of those.
So before you go, you've said the four hardest words to string together in the English language. I've changed my mind. What's the moral of the story?
The moral of this story is you have to keep your eye on the ball, which is, what does the public need? And the public has views, which we need to hear, and we did hear and responded to. But it's also about getting your facts straight. It took us a year of analysis, of sending plans out, the original plan, the alternative plans out for third-party estimates so we could decide based on the facts. It's not about some preset notion of, we've got to get this done because this is what we said we were going to get done. That would not be responsible as a public-serving institution. Something like close to 20 million physical visits to the library and 40 million in the five boroughs, more than all the cultural institutions and professional sporting teams combined. We have to be mindful and we have to be fact-based in making these decisions. And it's a great tribute to the Board of Trustees that's what they had their eye focused on. There was a lot of noise, and we went through it, and we did our homework, and we came to a much better solution, a less expensive solution that still meets the same needs we've been after for more than a decade.
And Salman Rushdie, Francine Prose, Art Spiegelman, you can come home now.
Come on in.
Anthony Marks, president of the New York Public Library, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, if the city of New York is running a budget surplus this year, why does Mayor de Blasio's new budget borrow from reserve funds? Stay with us for that critique.